And so these objections are put forth, and then they're answered. So we see that faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word. You can't just will yourself to believe something. You cannot will yourself to believe something apart from information to be able to change your mind. So faith's going to come from hearing, and hearing by the Word. There was an emphasis earlier. How shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they're sent? So now we have a group of people. Maybe it's you. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's, you know, probably wouldn't be in this room, but out there somewhere. Okay? Who would say, yeah, but they haven't heard. Not everybody's heard. The people who haven't heard, they're off the hook. The gospel only is going to hold people accountable who know. So surely they've never heard, have they? Well, guys, this is an easy thing to do, because if you're honest and you start considering the state that people all around you are in, their eternal destiny, if something doesn't change, it is very sobering. There is a heaven. In every obituary I've ever read, not every, there are some atheists even in that moment, but very few. Most of them talk about heaven. Who goes to hell? I never seen that. Not that it's necessarily any of our place to send somebody to hell. But we can't preach somebody into heaven that isn't going there. The Bible is clear. The same book that we get information from about heaven is the same book that tells us about hell. And Jesus says that the way is broad that leads to destruction. And many are those who enter by it. You can go and crunch the numbers back to the time of Noah's flood. That is few. So it is very sobering to consider where people are at. Your coworkers, your neighbors. Just driving by house after house. Seeing cars coming at you. Lights after lights after lights in the dark. And the odds are those people are going to hell. That's not just in Billings, Montana. That's not just Montana. That's not just the United States of America. That is around the world. Billions of people are headed there. Now that's tough for me to handle. Tough for everybody to handle if they think about it. And so there's this place that our mind wants to go sometimes. It says, well, surely they've never heard, have they? Surely they're not really headed for hell, are they? Because they haven't heard. I think it's a pretty common argument inside the head, and sometimes it's verbalized. Yeah, maybe the gospel's the truth, but what about those who haven't heard? You know, from the time I was 8 years old, we lived in one house. My dad still lives there to this day, but there was a field. That field isn't really there anymore. It's now some sort of, I think, government subsidized housing down there. But there was a wide open field and a creek running through it. And we used to just love to go down there. And we could play, man, for hours and hours, boys and the girls too. We'd find all sorts of stuff to do. But, you know, it was just far enough away that when Mom came out and, you know, would give you the call, you couldn't quite hear what she said. But you could hear her voice. Now, depending on whether you were going to be obedient or not, if you chose not to be obedient, then the response was when you finally dragged yourself home, oh, I didn't hear you. Okay? Kind of true. You didn't hear what she said, but you could hear that she was calling for something. That's the reality of where people are at in reference to God. God has made His call. But His call, and it's designed this way, it is such that you actually have to want to pay attention in order to hear what He says. That's why Jesus would say, everybody who is of the truth hears my voice. People are either looking for a way in, or they're looking for a way out. People either hunger and thirst for righteousness, or they want to pursue their course of wickedness. We either want to hear, or we're trying to find all the reasons why we can't hear. Brother, we once were there. Hopefully we're not still there. See, I find it interesting that when we come nose to nose with the Scriptures, I appreciated Josh's comments about, you know, one of the things that I do, and I sometimes still don't do it, but I make effort to pick up the Bible and to forget that I know anything. And just read it for what it says, because it's so easy to, you know, it's like proofreading your own paper. You read what you think you wrote, not necessarily what you wrote. And we can read this to what you think it means, instead of for what it says. It's, you know, super important that we approach the Scriptures that way. I got lost where I was going with that. But, you know, we come up nose to nose with the Scriptures. And it pushes us. It's a double-edged sword, isn't it? It pierces the heart. It causes that separation. There's no more polarizing book that's ever been written. This thing is designed perfectly to sift the hearts of human beings throughout the world, throughout all of history. And so, you know, sometimes we come face to face with this and, you know, we don't really like what it has to say. And so we have some choices there we're going to make. And I found that many individuals, at that point in time, they duck individual responsibility by hiding under the cloak of a hypothetical question. You know what I mean by that? Like, okay, let's not talk about me. Let's talk about what if. Because to talk about me is a little too real here. So let's talk about what if. Yeah, let me give you a couple of examples here. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. We're not going to turn there, but on the day of Pentecost, the question gets asked by these Jews who actually believed the message that was preached about who Jesus is. And they say, "Brethren, what should we do?" And Peter said to them, and this response is very straightforward. He said, "Repent. And let each of you be immersed in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." I find that very straightforward. These people believe. What do? Repent and be immersed in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But sometimes I find that we do have a tendency to read what we think it says. So I have to ask some questions. Can a person be saved without having their sins forgiven? No. So can a person be saved without being immersed into Christ? No. But here's the what if. Because I know my mom wasn't immersed, or my grandma wasn't immersed, or my friends haven't been immersed, or I haven't been immersed. But I don't want to talk about me. So what if somebody's on their way to get immersed into Christ, and they die in a car wreck on the way there? I mean, surely God would let them in, wouldn't He? I knew Dave was thinking about getting immersed for a while. I said, "You wear your seatbelt." But guys, God knows your heart. The God who sent His own Son into the world, He did not spare His own Son. You don't think He can keep somebody safe that's supposed to be saved with their hearts right? Let's not talk about the hypotheticals. Let's say, what does it say? But that's the way the mind wants to work, isn't it? Go with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. I've mentioned this before, but, you know, this is one of the most difficult passages of Scripture for me to battle through in my mind, the significance of it. I already mentioned it a little bit today, but it's very, very sobering to think about what this means. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, I'm not going to go through all the context. Well, I will. Verse 6. "For after all, it's only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to give relief to you who are afflicted, and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus." What about those who haven't heard? You know, because here's a common argument. Well, what about people in the jungles that have never heard? Like, how could God hold them accountable? Well, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8 says that when Jesus comes again, He's going to punish those who don't know God. Brethren, I cannot make this say something different than what it says. You know what that means? I have to change my mind to fit what God says. Is God just? Yes, God's just. Will not the righteous judge, will he not, of all the earth, will he not judge righteously? Yes, he will. And this is what he says. So there are two things that this does to me when I think it through. Number one, I say, man, this should motivate me. I gotta tell people that I love. I gotta tell people I know about the gospel. I gotta tell people because there is a place of judgment afterwards. It's a motivator to me. I gotta tell. But the second thing it lets me know is God puts responsibility on the individual to pursue Him. God puts a responsibility on the individual to come to know Him. You know, the question comes up, Paul asks it, surely they have never heard, have they? And what's he say? Indeed they have. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. Go back with me to Psalm 19, because that's where that quotation is from. Some of you guys are either brand new Christians or maybe not Christians yet. You might not realize this, but most of your Bibles, when you have in the New Testament a bold statement, everything's bold there in capital letters, that's a quotation from the Old Testament. So sometimes it's fun to go back and say, hey, where was this? What was the setting in which this came from? And so that's what Paul is actually answering here. Indeed, they have. And he quotes from Psalm 19. So you guys can turn with me to Psalm 19. And I just want to read the first few verses here. I got stuck in Psalm 119 and it took me a while to get through that one. Psalm 19, beginning in verse 1. The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of His hands. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their utterances to the end of the world. In them He has placed a tent for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. It rejoices as a strong man to run his course. Its rising is from one end of the heavens, and its circuit to the other end of them, and there's nothing hidden from its heat. The context here, guys, is that the creation itself speaks of God's existence. Now, I know there's a lot of misinformation and miseducation, but anybody who's honest, just from looking at the creation itself, is going to come to the conclusion that there is a creator. You do not have to be a scientist to figure this out. Every one of us, from the time we're kids, we have a question. Where did I come from? And as that question grows a little bit, where did we come from? How did this place start? How did we get here? What's my purpose in life? Now, some people, we just shut that off right away. We won't even pursue that. Is that God's fault? It's my responsibility, isn't it? To pursue that, to find the answers to those questions. God's creation shouts of His existence. It is super cool to look at some of the science. You get down to DNA and information systems, and there's no question about it that this has been designed. You can't argue against the science. People try to. I know evolution is still prevalent, but I mean, a bunch of evolutionists, they're having to change their theories and have to come up with other things. The idea of intelligent design, you just can't get away from it. You know, you have the smartest scientists in the world supposedly writing books like The Blind Watchmaker. It's like trying to explain how we have everything's designed, but there's no designer. Come on. Let's have some common sense here. Let's be honest about this. The heavens declare the glory of God. That voice has gone out into all the earth. I don't care if you're in the jungles or if you're sitting here today. You've heard that voice. Are you willing to pursue it? We know that with the coming of Christ, God took that to the next level, didn't He? It's not just a general revelation, but it's a specific revelation, particularly in Jesus the Christ. And in Jesus' crucifixion, His resurrection, His ascension, the continuing words of the New Testament. You say, well, not everybody knows about that. Well, actually, if you look at where these events transpired with Jesus and His crucifixion, it was not done in a corner. When Peter talks to Cornelius and his household, a Gentile, he said, you yourselves know of Jesus of Nazareth. And it just so happened that this was the center of all the trade routes of that day. The gospel was going forth. The message was being proclaimed. People knew about Jesus. By the end of the first century, everybody had a chance to hear. Go with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. I'm just going to pick it up in verse 6 for the sake of time. We're talking about the gospel. The gospel which has come to you just as in all the world. Also, it's constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. All the world. The gospel was going forth and it was producing fruit. You know, it's interesting, Benoy Thomas, back to India, where he came from. You know, there's a reason Benoy, being born in India, his last name's Thomas, because, say, Thomas the Apostle took the gospel to what's now India. The gospel went forth, brethren, into all the world. Now, certainly, some societies suppress that truth to the point it's difficult to uncover. But every individual, there's a responsibility upon us to pursue truth until He finds it. And again, I'm going to appeal to God and what He's done and what He's proven, His willingness to go forth or to, in terms of sending His Son. If there's somebody who really wants to know, do you think God can provide that opportunity for them to hear? But there is responsibility upon people to pursue it. I've mentioned this before, but on my way back from the Philippines, the last trip, spent all night in the plane, and I try to walk and do some things rather than sitting there for 12 hours straight, and I ended up having this conversation, a few hour long conversation with a young lady, college student from China. And just talking with her and talking about some of the censorship that they have there. And, you know, we had a great, great conversation about God. We had a great conversation about the Bible. And it was the middle of the night, and I was a little jet-lagged, so I might be a little biased, but I think I did a really great job of laying out the case, at least to pursue this. And, you know, I asked for her Facebook information, and she said, she told me what it was, but she said, you'll never find it, we're not even allowed to be on it there. But she took mine, and I never heard from her. Maybe I will someday, but I think if I was gonna, I probably would have. But no. But she, what I'm saying is, she had an opportunity that night. God gave her an opportunity. She's either going to pursue that or not. This is the way the Lord works. We can't say, they never heard. People hear, and they either pursue or they block it off. It's not just at Acts chapter 2, verse 38 that people shut down. Most people shut down long before that, and some people shut down long after that. The problem isn't the voice. Their voice has been heard. Certainly in America, the Bible's available to anybody who's willing to read it. You can read it in any translation you want. I'll just tell you, stay away from the paraphrases, because that isn't God's word, that's man's word. But there are many people, and I want you to be with me for a second. There are many people who refuse to heed the good news. They won't obey the gospel. And the reason they say that is because of their compassion for those who have never heard. You know what I'm saying? My God would never. You're either trying to hear Oh, you want to come and say, I never heard you. Bertrand Russell, in his arrogance, very open, avowed atheist, if there is a God, and if there is a day of judgment, and I have to stand before him, and he asked me why I didn't believe, I'm going to tell him because there wasn't enough evidence. No, that guy isn't going to say anything. His mouth won't be closed. He's going to want the rocks and the hills to fall on him. Don't wait for somebody else to respond to the gospel for you too. Don't use somebody else's lack of knowledge to hinder you from. When I was in college, I had a girlfriend for a few months in college. This girl had a Baptist background. And it seemed by the end of our short relationship, every discussion ended with her in tears. Nice guy that I was, huh? But, you know, it's centered on what the Bible said about salvation. She ended up writing me this letter, and it's like, Luke, I'm not as strong as you think. She could see what the Bible said. She told me that. But she's like, Luke, I'm not as strong as you think. My parents will never accept this. So, and I talked to her about this. I was like, let's think about this. Whether your parents accept it or not doesn't change the reality of it. Doesn't change what it says. Doesn't change what you've seen. So why don't we go tell them? How do you know they won't accept it? I'm not as strong. I can't do that. People are always using somebody else as their excuse not to heed the glad tidings. Don't do that, brethren. The Jews is really the context of this. Surely Israel did not know, did they? So some of them, well, maybe they've heard, but they certainly didn't understand. Paul answers this to the Holy Spirit. But the bottom line is, a lack of understanding of the gospel by the Jews wasn't because they didn't get it or couldn't get it. It's because of willful ignorance. Think about the word ignorance. Usually when we say the word ignorance, there's just we usually just mean somebody doesn't know. But no, listen to the first part of that word, ignore. The information's there, and there is a refusal to accept it. Ignore, to refuse to take notice of or acknowledge, to disregard intentionally. The scripture makes the point time and time again that people who do not choose to follow this. Well, God just said, my people are destroyed for their lack of knowledge. He says, because you've rejected knowledge. It's a willful thing. I love the way New American Standard really messes this up. 2 Peter chapter 3. It escapes their notice, is the way ours says it. King James, New King James gets it right. They're willfully ignorant of. There's a choice. Surely Israel did not know, did they? Yeah, they knew. Let's go back to Romans. We'll wrap it up here. Romans chapter 10. God did so much. I want to just take this line from verse 21 and then think our way backwards a little bit. As for Israel, he says, all the day long I've stretched out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. God tried everything he could to get the nation of Israel to listen. Even following the crucifixion of Christ, he gave them 40 years to get this figured out, to get a chance to hear. He had the gospel go to the Gentiles in order to make the Jews jealous even. What are we missing out on? God pulled out all the stops for them to have an opportunity to hear. And so the problem wasn't God's. I want us to understand something today. If there's one thing you get out of this message, the lack of response to the gospel is not God's fault. God's not willing for any to perish, and he proved that by sending Jesus to die. God has stretched out his hands. I think about an example of a parent with a toddler. You know, and the toddler's one of those moods that they're in. They're so tired, they're barely standing up, and they're crying. They want you to pick them up. And so you can reach down to pick them up. And they have two choices. They're going to reach out to you, or sometimes they'll hit the ground instead and start going into a fit, right? Guys, God stretched out his hands. He's reached out what we could never reach. But there's a response that's required from everybody. If you fall down, when God reaches out to you, you fall down. And you throw a fit there on the ground. Don't blame it on God that you didn't get picked up. All day long, I've stretched out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. The gospel isn't difficult to understand. There are parts of the Bible that are difficult to understand. But the basics are very simple. Jesus isn't hard to figure out. The blind man figured this out. Boom. I always find an interesting contrast between him and the guy from John 5. The lame man from John 5. The blind man, even before he's ever met Jesus, sticks to his guns and stands up for him. And the lame man, it's almost, I get the impression he just can't wait to tattletale on Jesus. Sin blinds. That's why Jesus comes to the lame man, John 5, he says, you don't do anything, you quit sinning so that nothing worse may befall you. The problem was sin. The blind man, Jesus came back at the end of that. Jesus set this guy free from sin. See, sin blinds, rebellion rejects. Because I'm just, for us as Christians, for just a second here, I'm really thankful that we are truth seekers. I'm really thankful that we reached out for truth. But you know, one thing we got to be cautious against in our own life. Sometimes the swimming upstream, the counterculture, we can get that little chip on our shoulder and it can turn to rebellion. I'm going to do it my way. You don't become a Christian and do it your way. It's the Lord's way. The Gentiles, Paul uses this, the Holy Spirit uses them as an example. The Gentiles could figure out the gospel without all the extra teaching the Jews had been given. The Gentiles didn't have to understand everything about the tabernacle system to understand who Jesus was. Oh, it's cool, and I'm sure they got to learn later. But you don't have to understand all that stuff to figure out who Jesus is. The gospel's not difficult. The plan of salvation isn't tough to understand. For the forgiveness of sins means for the forgiveness of sins. Surprise. See, people can see the scriptures but reject them. One of my favorite lines in a negative example, a young lady told me, I believe the Bible, but I don't agree with it. This context of Romans 10 is particularly about the rejection of Christ by the Jews. And we'll see that as we move on in to chapter 11. And it's really easy. I think it's easy to wonder at their lack of faith. How could they? Everything they've been given to them. He's made that case earlier in the book of Romans. But how about us, brethren? We've had a chance to hear, haven't we? We've heard clearly the voice. What do we do with that? Heed the glad tidings. That's not just at our initial salvation. We continue to trust and obey. And I hope through this too that we're all motivated to proclaim the word. I want people to be able to hear clearly the voice. I want people to have a shot to hear, to see what God has done. Our mission is to spread the word. Let's spread it. The response is, that's the responsibility of the hearer. Our part's to proclaim it. We're the means by which, just as the heavens declare the glory of God, we're the ones who now take that specific revelation and we carry that. Let's do our part. The response of those who hear. I know lots of us are doing Bible studies, sometimes maybe with somebody for the first time, for the second time. I'm encouraged by that. But I know by some of your questions and that you're putting responsibility on yourself for how they respond to the gospel. That's not your responsibility. God's not at fault if they don't obey the gospel. Of course you want to do the best you can, and I appreciate you working hard to do the best you can. But it's everybody who's of the truth hears Jesus' voice. Our responsibility is to proclaim that message. The response is the responsibility of those who heard. You know, that's why the Apostle Paul could say, I didn't come to immerse. I came to preach the gospel. May we join him in carrying out our mission. Let's stand. Mr. Schaefer, when I'm done praying, would you sing for us? I got voiceless from camp, so it'd be great. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you so much for your word. We're thankful for the inspired scriptures. And I'm appreciative for Romans and some of the questions that come up that are those same mental gymnastics that we go through and your answer to those, Lord. I'm appreciative that you do give sight to the blind, that you open up our eyes so that we may see. Lord, may you be glorified through us, your church. Give us the courage to stand and proclaim your word, not with, just with our lips, but with our lives, that we would be those who bring about the obedience of faith among the Gentiles. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.